just playing around in it.
Yeah, I know I can delete my own comments, but I didn't think I could delete other people's. And so when I do, I was like, delete.
Did she say
anything? I was laughing so hard myself. I was like, ah! Oh, yeah, she was so bad. She goes, I thought people like Lara and Bear would want to know this.
My daughter texted me or Snapchatted me at 2 o'clock in the morning to tell me.
I'll stand by passengers. See me at the podium. Your seat is empty.
Non-Rev Lounge is a travel and aviation podcast. Monique, Lara, and Tyler are three friends that work for a major airline as gate agent, flight attendant, and ramp worker. During this podcast, they will discuss using their flight benefits to travel the world, as well as talk about things that happen at work. They have guests on almost every week to share their travels and stories, leaving tips on the best places to travel and things to do. Enjoy.
Welcome to the Non-Rev Lounge. I'm Lara.
I'm Monique.
And I'm Tyler. And we have a couple guests with us.
We're so lucky.
I have to say that last year at Dorkfest, we were there and we did a little meetup. They actually just sent a new thing out today about this year's coming one, some information. I don't know if you saw that email.
Not yet.
And we were at Proud Bird and we had a couple that showed up that we had no idea about.
We had never met them or...
And it really made my whole... It was fun to meet them and know the people listen. Because we do this, we feel like we're just talking and put it out there. But to meet and hear their stories, and I was like, we got to have them on. And it's been almost a year, well, not a year, but it's been a long time. We finally nailed it down. So thank you for coming, Eric and Catherine.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, happy to be here.
From Seattle.
Yes.
So
I'm happy that we got them before next trip podcast. Ha ha.
Yeah.
Ha ha, Doug and Drew.
And how was nice weather? Is it nice weather in Seattle right now?
Approaching nice weather, I think. We just got a couple days with a little bit less rain, which was good.
But tons of sun, though.
Yeah.
In general, starting 6 a.m. through 9 p.m.
It's kind really of a, long an absurd amount of sun, actually. Yeah.
When we met you guys, you had just moved to Seattle, right? So you've been there for a while, enjoying it there?
Yes. Yeah. We had, I think when we came down, we hadn't even gotten our stuff yet. So we were basically staying in an empty apartment and we were like, well, great time to go to L.A. So yeah, love Seattle. Fantastic food, great people.
Nice.
Yeah.
Where did you guys move from?
From D.C.
Oh, wow. That's a big change.
Yeah. I'd been there a really long time. So. We're excited for something new.
Yep. I started grad school, which was sort of the impetus for the move. And we just were looking for a new place to be. And West Coast seemed like a great new adventure. So that's how we landed in Seattle.
That's great.
So neither of you work for the airlines. So it seems like you wouldn't fit for it. But you guys have benefits and probably better benefits than us because you don't have to work for them. So before we get into that, what do you guys do in your careers? Just real quick, so people can...
I'm a computational linguist. So I work in machine learning and with languages and linguistics.
Yeah, and I'm a software engineer.
Smarty tardies.
They sound like Seattle people. So
it sounds like smart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Eric, you do travel for work a bunch to Europe, right?
Yes, I do. My company is based in Sweden. So I end up in the city of Gothenburg pretty often. Yeah.
Nice. That's pretty cool.
And you're based in Seattle. You don't travel for work, right?
Not too often. I've definitely done some before, but most of my time is spent in Seattle these days.
Okay. Do you work remote then?
No, we have an office there.
Wow, that's great.
So, yeah, I was able to just swap between offices, have coworkers in both places. Very easy.
Oh, good.
So explain a little bit. How do you have benefits? Because you have them, but...
That's all, Catherine.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So my aunt is very generous, and she has been a pilot for longer than I've been alive. and her partner is also a pilot. And so the spousal benefits were kind of available.
Yep.
And a couple of years ago, she took me to a very nice dinner in DC and was like, well, do you want your life to just get so much more awesome? And I was like, of course.
So, who doesn't?
Yeah, exactly. And it was just something that had never occurred to me as even the faintest possibility that I could end up with these incredible benefits. And then a couple of years later, Eric and I had started dating and she was like, are you guys solid? What's the deal there? And I was like, yeah, I think so. And she had an additional pass that had also come available. So she very generously added Eric to that as well, which allows both of us to travel with benefits.
That's awesome. But not only that, though, you guys use them.
Oh, and we do. Yeah, we do. As much as we can. Yeah.
That probably makes her happy, though.
Like, yes.
To be able to see someone actually using those benefits to the fullest, that's awesome.
I think so. Yeah. We really try and use them as much as humanly possible.
Yeah. She loves when we send photos or...
Mm-hmm. Snacks.
Yes. Snacks.
So what is it? You have any time when you've got weird looks from people? You show up and you have more seniority than your age.
Oh, totally. Yeah, that happened. I think we were in Nashville coming from somewhere and they called out my name and then we're looking around for someone and I walked up to the podium and they were like, no, that can't be you. I was like, no, yeah, that's us. And they're like, okay. Yes, because the seniority beats my age by 4 years. It's pretty nice. Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty awesome.
It's like, yeah, I bet in the boarding area, they're kind of like, you gauge out who the other non-nerves mm-hmm. are. And so when they see that seniority date, they're probably looking for someone much older, I'm sure.
So do you give your aunt a huge gift every year or something to say thank you?
We try.
What do you give a captain that's had that many years?
It's this on honestly, because she also travels constantly. So it's okay. Sort of like, what do you get the person who has every travel opportunity available.
That's true. Yeah.
So we try and be really intentional. She loves tea. So we often get her tea in various places or chocolate. I've become sort of her personal shopper abroad. So I will sometimes, if I'm on a work trip, there are some great stores in Sweden. So I'll bring her back some like Nordic cold gear. And we were in Barcelona and I tracked down these embroidered jeans that she had gotten 20 years ago and brought her some of those. So just like anything we can do to express our gratitude with a little intentionality and a little shopping. It's not a bad thing. So, yeah.
I'm sure she's just happy you're using them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. Definitely. It's, yeah, as much as we can and with as much gratitude as we can possibly express to her.
Do you get Zed fares or are you just on your airline?
No. Yep. Just on
our airline.
Okay. So does that ever come with issues? Like if you get stuck, or we get stuck, we could jump on almost anyone else for.
We have gotten stuck. Yeah. Do you want to talk about the Hawaii incident?
Oh, it's in Hawaii. Oh, classic. Well, you know what? We have to mention Hawaii every single non-rev.
Oh, perfect. That's true. Awesome.
Yeah. What happened in Hawaii?
So we didn't get stuck in Hawaii. We just had to go to Hawaii because we were stuck in San Francisco and we're trying to find our way to Japan. And so we ended up not being able to Zed fare or anything like that. Mm-hmm. All of the seats had closed up pretty quickly. So we found that we could get a very cheap confirmed ticket from Hawaii to Osaka. And so we just took a normal non-rev fare from San Francisco to Hawaii, spent mm-hmm. the day there.
Really and then you complain. Hopped on your confirmed ticket.
Exactly. Yes.
And that was also our first time in Hawaii, which was absurd that it was like, what a lovely 20 hours in Honolulu. But that was really cool. It's the first time seeing the Pacific from kind of the middle of the Pacific. So that was really neat. I really enjoyed that. And then it was 80 degrees and then we went on to snow-covered Japan. So that was quite an interesting twist.
Oh, yeah, really.
But what a good way to like capitalize on a bad situation.
Yeah.
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 It's just the number one rule. You got to be flexible. We have learned that time and time again. So it's just like, well, we'll see a new state. That'll be great. Go on our vacation. We'll get there eventually.
I wish passengers had that same idea about the flexibility.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, who doesn't want to spend an extra day in El Paso on their vacation?
What do you think about it? How much you paid for those tickets? You said you got a deal compared to like how many flights you've taken. It's really not too bad then.
Absolutely. We have nothing we can possibly complain about here.
When you fly on your airline and you get upgraded seats, you have to pay for those and then international taxes. So does that go to your aunt? Do you pay her back for those or how do you guys work that situation?
Yeah. So she previously, another relative of hers had the benefits who's a little bit older than me. And so she already had the system down pat. Okay. So we just cover any of the additional imputed income, I think is what they call it.
That's what it is.
So we reimburse her for that at the end of every year. And that's pretty much it. So
And then the international taxes automatically.
Yes. And those we pay for already. Directly when we're booking the ticket.
So that's good.
Yeah. Can handle those directly. Yeah.
And you did a trip with Drew, right?
Yes.
Was that under his benefits? Because you did fly on other airlines, right?
It was both. So getting there, we went under our own benefits. So I was able to fly under the...
And where'd you go?
We went to Geneva. So I first flew to DC to meet up with him. He had asked if I needed directions getting around the airport, having not recalled that I was from DC originally. It was my
most... He was just being nice. Exactly. It's so nice.
My most frequently flown airport by far. So I was able to find him, no problem. And then we caught a flight to Geneva. The whole goal of the trip was to fly on a 747. He had never been on a 747-8. I had never been on one at all. And so we did that on the way back through Frankfurt.
I love this.
In business. Yes. And that was on his
It was benefits. Business both ways, wasn't it?
Yes.
Because the one trip I didn't go on, it was like, oh, that must have been nice.
Yes. You were in business on a 747?
Yes.
That's upstairs?
He was upstairs. I was downstairs.
Oh, got it.
That's right. He was in the upper deck.
Indeed. Yeah. we were worried that he wasn't going to be able to make it back in time for his next work shift. And so he needed the seat that they definitely weren't going to take from him, which was the seat that they said wasn't going to recline all the way.
Yeah.
It apparently had no issues.
So they got to fly not only a 747, but in business as a non-rev. And we do not have that ability at all.
Yeah.
Unless we suck up to Drew.
He took good care of me when I went to visit him.
She'll do it.
Yeah.
He's been on a 747, though. I never have still. Yeah.
Been on it a lot. Sorry.
Yeah, I know.
But I worked it.
But not fancy ones.
You know, it was fancy at the time.
It had an elevator.
It had like 10,000 pounds of pineapple below to make sure they could make a little bit of money.
That's probably true.
Because they only had like 7 passengers on it.
No, no. We were full back and forth to Hawaii. Just not full to Japan.
Oh, Japan was empty.
Yeah. 18 people.
Seriously?
Yeah. And no one was in my section. I said, I'm going to go to crew rest. I'll see you guys later. Peace.
Awesome.
So you said you guys did the Dublin?
Yeah.
So how did that trip go?
Love Dublin.
Yeah. Been previously with a friend of mine from college, and I just wanted to go back, and we were looking for somewhere to go for Eric's birthday.
And when is your birthday, Eric?
In February.
Same.
Cool. It's a good month.
So yeah, we were trying to figure out where we could go just over a long weekend.
I had been debating going to Dublin a month or two prior when you were on a work trip.
Jacques, I remember this.
Yes. The seats were wide, wide open. It looked very easy to get there and back in business. And so I was debating going to just see the city, go see Trinity College Library, which was something we had both wanted to do for a while. And I could tell from your reaction that that was something that would be better to do together.
Yes, could not stand. That simply could not happen. Mostly because of the Trinity College Library and the Book of Kells. I just have loved since I was a kid. And I really wanted to go together and have that experience and be able to show that to Eric. And just the idea of him going without me to do that. While I was on a work trip, Nola, it's just that
it was heartbreaking.
Simply was not allowed to pass. So so he ended up going a couple of weeks later. And yeah, I think.
But he went with you.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you get to Trinity College? Because I've done that.
Yes.
We did.
Yeah.
Okay. So the Book of Kells.
Yes.
How did you feel about that? Because when I saw it, the page they had open didn't have a lot on it. And I'm like, why did you pick that page?
Yes, I think so. I've seen it twice. The second time, I think I had a similar experience where I get that, you know, they're flipping through. They want to have conserve the manuscript, but pick a juicier page.
Yes.
Yeah, people travel a long way to get to here to see this.
So they do change the pages on it?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So down from what does they get? What is the Book of Kells?
Yeah. So it is, I think, the best preserved illuminated manuscript from about 800 for the 4 Gospels. And it is one of the few extant versions of this sort of illuminated manuscript. So it has beautiful illustrations and it's written in Latin with the incredible calligraphy. And
the colors.
It's so vibrant. It's a stunning piece of art as well as just a piece of history. It's so cool looking at a book that's from 800. That's just wild. Okay,
cool. And it was gold.
Yes. Yeah.
At one time. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just absolutely amazing. And it's kind of funny because you go to see the Book of Kells, but it's sort of tucked in. It's in its own little room. So it feels like you're in a little bit of a tomb to respect the book, which is very appropriate. And then you go up and see the beautiful college library.
I love the library.
Yes. It inspired the Great Hall in Harry Potter.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah.
So I can see arches why.
Yeah, absolutely. But one of the other reasons I think had selected Dublin specifically was because they were supposed to be renovating the library and doing a lot of conservation efforts around the books. And so we wanted to slip in because it was supposed to be closed in October of last year.
So now it's end of next year.
Yeah.
They closed for a few years for renovations.
Oh, so they I figured will? It was. Well, so I went last May.
Oh,
and
good.
Parts of it were closed off, but you could still go in there. You could just look across and see it.
Yeah. And they've started taking all the books down too, which kind of, I understand. Yes. Please preserve these priceless artifacts, but also it's not as cool. You go to a library, you expect it to have books in it. So
just means we'll have to go back.
Yes. Yeah. We will definitely have to go back.
Was it where the book is, you go see it? Is it packed? Like you've been to see the Mona Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little teeny picture. There's like tons of people in there. Is it that way? Or do they flow people out? How did it?
Not nearly as packed as that was. I think there was plenty of space. You could approach the book basically from all sides, had as much time as you wanted. I know the Mona Lisa, you have a little bit more time pressure where they're trying to shuffle you through.
It was also probably not peak season when you guys went too. So maybe during the summer,
Yeah.
A little busier.
I don't think Ireland is famous for Februarys.
Yeah. Mm-mm.
But it was beautiful for us.
Yeah.
And when I went in May, there was a lot of people. Mm. So they had a metered entrance. Mm. So okay. You had to go at a certain time.
I think we also had done timed entry tickets, but we had picked an early morning kind of thing. Because
you wanted to stay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What else did you guys do in Dublin?
Most of what we travel for is food.
Yes,
so absolutely. That tends to be the highlight of any trip. I think one of the key goals for this one was to get excellent fish and chips. Catherine can't have gluten, so we needed to seek out specifically gluten-free fish and chips, which yes. We were very successful on.
Oh, good. Which kind of surprised really? Me. Yeah. Yeah, I don't really think of anywhere in that area as being particularly gluten-friendly, particularly around something that's sort of a core food. But we found an excellent gluten-free fish and chips that was over kind of by Temple Bar area.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that was
pretty good. Did you just Google, like, gluten-free fish and chips?
Oh, Eric has a whole system worked out for this, and for that I am very grateful. Otherwise, I'd just be walking around protein bars. So, yeah, how did spill you find it. That particular one?
Yes. Yeah, spill it.
I think that one ended up being on the easier side of just Googling or searching on Google Maps for gluten-free fish and chips, and it came up as some of the results, though there are definitely some other more creative techniques we've had to use to find things in the past.
Yeah. I guess Ireland being an English-speaking country sort of takes the edge off of that the complex searching. Yeah.
Our youngest is a pescatarian.
Oh, yeah.
So it does make sometimes multiple stops for getting food sometimes because it's just, yeah, she gets sick of the same thing every single time because that's all you can find.
Mm-hmm. What's a pescatarian? I thought you were like talking about religion.
No, she's kind. Well, it's pretty much like no meat, but she will eat fish.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Then you can have fish and chips.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. So she could have that. Yeah. So that's what I was going to think.
London's really big on, they have a lot of gluten-free options at almost every single restaurant in London.
Oh, we've been talking about going to London.
We have.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Just so you know, you'd have plenty of places to eat.
Good to know. We're big eaters. So
I went to because I read the email you guys sent, kind of what you talk about. And I went to the donut shop. And after I got a bunch, I asked if they have any gluten-free ones. And she looked at me like, are you stupid?
Yeah.
So what do you guys, could you explain a little more for people that may have the same issues? Or how do you find good places to eat? Is it hard? What kind of, you said you have some strategy. What kind of things do you do? That just Google? Or do you call places ahead of time?
Yeah. So there are a handful of strategies we use. I think the first is trying to find the places that will be most likely to have gluten-free items. And that typically is through searching on Google Maps for the term gluten or gluten-free, as well as the dish that you want. One of the tricks that we found there is that if you put gluten-free in quotes, it makes Google Maps treat that as a more important part of the search mm-hmm. query.
Okay.
Because so often we found if you just searched for it without the quotes, then you would get things that have that dish, but not necessarily the gluten-free version of that dish.
Or it'll be people saying they had no gluten-free options, and then
and you've already really got excited.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, this one looks good. Like, it should not be a positive result. Yeah.
That definitely still happens.
Yeah.
I think beyond that, we've also found it to be much more successful to search through the reviews of places rather than trying to look on the menu. Mm-hmm. So often places just don't list it on the menu, especially outside of Europe. Mm-hmm. So if you look in the reviews, often other people have mentioned it. And one of the key tricks there is to make sure that you're searching not only in English, but also in the language of whatever country you're in, because often people will write the reviews in that language and it'll only show up in the reviews search if you search for glutine in Italian, yeah, for example. Glutine,
yeah. Yeah.
Oh, Italy would be a hard one. Yeah.
Italy?
Was it not hard?
One of the best in the world, actually.
Really?
Yeah. They have, we were just in Italy a couple weeks ago with Eric's family, and we had been and pleasantly delighted a couple years prior to that. There is a lobbying organization that's basically promotes celiac awareness in Italy and goes and trains restaurant staff and educates people on what this is, how severe it is, because it's not unlike a peanut allergy in terms of severity, or it can be. And there were all of these restaurants that had separate kitchens for gluten and gluten-free.
Wow.
One in particular by the Trevi Fountain in Rome has separate, you get a color-coded placemat and separate dishes and glassware and silverware and everything. They take it really, really seriously. And I think Italy is one of the few places I've never had to really explain, like, oh, yes, hello, this is what I am, this is the issue. And I have these little cards. Legal Nomads, I think, is the company that makes them. And they have these awesome size of a credit card. One side is English and the other side they've had professionally translated into so many different, like 200 different languages. So we've just collected those over time and ordered them when we know we're going to a place. So I can present the card and say, like, this is what I have. And I think having a physical object to hand someone really lends an air of authenticity and severity to the situation. It's like, this is not a preference. Like, I have sort of like, if you laminate your library card, you know, like, no, this is legit now.
They'll sometimes take it back to the kitchen and show the chef and discuss.
Yeah, because it has like specific like barley and rye and specific things listed out, because there are things that are really obvious, like bread, and then things like soy sauce that are super not obvious if you're...
I have a gluten-free friend, and I did not know that about soy sauce until she told me.
Yeah, it hides in a lot of places. Just in her food.
And where do you get those cards? Legal?
I think it's Legal Nomads. They've been a fantastic resource. And I pretty much now won't travel without them, because it provides a lot of comfort and reassurance. And if even just the experience of handing it to someone, if there's any degree of hesitation or like, I think it's okay, it's like, great, Eric will eat here and I will go somewhere else.
You do get some funny looks sometimes if we like, walk up to a street stall and you hand them a card. They think you're maybe asking for money or just like giving them a credit card or something, and they're cash only. Or
we've gotten waved off quite a few times. That happened a lot in Japan, actually, where I would try to hand the card and they're like, no. I'm like, I haven't even ordered. I'm not trying to pay with a credit card. Please just look at what I'm handing you. Thank you so much. No, really, please just look at it. And then there's sort of the light of understanding that goes on most of the time. And if there's not, then we just, thank you so much.
I think you have to accept.
It's not worth it.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just not going to work out.
No. Arigato.
So you said Italy's good. Laura says London's pretty good. Are the places that are good? And also, do you have places that you don't go to because you can't find anything to eat?
Japan is hard. Japan is totally worth it. So done it anyway, but it's definitely on the harder side.
Yes.
Mainly because of the soy sauce.
Because it can even creep into sushi rice is sometimes prepared with a rice vinegar that has wheat in it. It's really, it's all around us. So Japan has been tricky, but I also am a Mandarin speaker. So I'm able to read like some of the kanji in Japanese, at least. So I can just like look at an ingredient label. And Japan is actually excellent with listing allergens. So I know the handful of allergens to look for, and those are in kanji, which is helpful.
On pre-prepared
foods. Yeah, pre-packaged foods. Yeah. So that sort of takes the edge off a little bit in Japan, but I do a lot of 7-Eleven dinners when I'm there, which are excellent.
Oh.
If you've never had a 7-Eleven hard-boiled egg in Japan, I really cannot recommend them enough.
Really?
Yes, they're so good.
Oh, who'd have guessed that?
Yeah.
Not me.
Yeah.
It's one of those weird things. And we also, Eric, for Valentine's Day a couple years ago, got me a box of... Was it 500 mini soy sauce packets? Gluten-free soy sauce packets.
Oh, I love that.
So I travel with those too. So I just, you know, make my own little dinner.
Yeah.
That is really sweet.
They only sell them in restaurant supply quantities.
Yeah.
So that's why you got so many.
We still have so many. Yeah. So if you're in the market for them. But yeah, I think Japan was tricky. Yeah.
Yeah,
it helps when you can say some things in the local language. So.
And France was a little tricky.
France was also a little tricky, yeah.
I think because so many of the places will only have maybe 3 or 4 entrees on the dinner menu. And so
that's true.
So many of the sauces are based on like ruse or flour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When I was in Cancun, the resort we stayed last year, every time you would go in, the person that would see you would ask if you had an allergy, and also the waiter. And I said, they'd never do that in the States. So I was curious if that was how other places too. In the States, is it easier? You speak English, so they do. Are you find places here, or is it more getting more gluten free for you?
It's definitely improving. And I think Seattle is a gluten free paradise, honestly. Yeah. It's just so, like, I don't even really have to check menus in advance anymore. It's just, I know that there will be an option. I think it depends on where you are, similar to the donut experience you had this morning.
Yeah.
Are you kind of just have to know your environment a little bit. I'm from Nashville, and Nashville has gotten much better, but is still some places yes, some places no. So it just kind of, it's a mixed bag a little bit, but I think it is definitely trending towards way more options generally.
You also just always travel with backup options now, like you have protein bars or things like that in your bag, and then it takes a lot of the stress off.
Yeah, for sure. That's
so she doesn't get hangry.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's not a good look for me. Yeah.
When we did Ireland, we did a 2-week tour, and we were traveling with someone that was gluten-free, and it was a challenge for her. I felt bad because it's a group tour, so a lot of our meals They, you know, in the hotel, they would, yeah, it was, but they do always ask in London too, as soon as you sit down, do you have any allergies? So London's good London too. Okay. Not like here. The United States is not there yet.
Throughout Europe, they're actually required to list on their menus all of the different allergens, and they have specific numbers for each one that are supposed to be consistent
numbers
across all the countries. And I think that is maybe inconsistently enforced, but getting better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good.
So Eric is a, would we call you a music fanatic, but in a low key way?
No, I wouldn't say fanatic. I just like
enthusiast, live music, a music enthusiast.
Okay. He likes girl bands.
Yeah. Hair bands, girl bands, really? Boy bands, no. Bands of any kind.
Wow, we'd never have guessed that. No.
Lara got very excited. I have questions.
No, but I do love live music a lot. And so since we were in Dublin for my birthday, we decided that it would be fun to just look and see who was possibly around. Like, would it be possible to just get tickets to a show? And it turns out on the website Songkick, you can just pull up a city and pull up the dates, and it'll list everybody who is playing in all of the various theaters nearby or venues nearby. And so we looked and we saw that Carly Rae Jepsen was playing that particular weekend. And
Canadian
her song,
icon.
Call me maybe.
Yep. Exactly. Which was very big when we were in high school.
Or at least
I very much associate that with high school.
Thank you.
If that dates us at all. And so we thought that that would be fun. We ended up getting tickets and going. And it was just a really fun to be in that sort of environment in a place that is so unfamiliar to you and just get to experience a different city's.
Yeah. You wondered kind of out loud when we were sitting there, did we travel the furthest to be here for this concert? Like, probably, yeah.
That'd be true.
But I think really the star of that show was, it was not Carly Rae Jepsen, it was her opener.
That's true. Her opener was this man named Louis Ofman.
Ofman, yeah.
Who is a French artist who basically, his music presented as if he were Ross from the show Friends. Mm-hmm. I don't know if any of you remember Ross's music
but
in French. So it's basically like a French version of that, very heavy on synthesizers and things along those lines. Mm-hmm. But it was awesome. He was so into it. The crowd got really into it. Mm-hmm. It was just really great. We kept listening to it after the concert when we
great
got back.
Great entertainer. And the only guy, so it's him and three keyboards.
Yes.
Oh, really?
And that's it.
Wow.
And so he comes out and we're like, what is this?
And then he just starts really vibing with it. And it was awesome. We've gotten tickets to see him twice since then when he's come to the US. Great highlight.
Yeah, absolutely. That was fantastic. I think really the only downside to that was I had a broken foot at the time. So I was in a boot, and that venue was a lot of stairs and no elevator or anything. And then so I just felt bad because I felt like I was holding up the line, hobbling back down the street. Or all the stairs on the way out of the venue, but it didn't stymie us in our pursuit of excellent eats.
Let that sort of thing stop you.
No, but that for some reason just reminded me there was a really excellent ice cream place right around the corner from the concert venue, because we had gone to an amazing dinner. Matt the Thresher in Dublin is fantastic, and actually my aunt's partner, that is his favorite restaurant in Dublin as well.
Oh, nice.
And it's fantastic. And so we were like, well, we have some time to kill and it's gonna take us a while to walk, so let's find some ice cream on the way. And it was Murphy's Creamery, I think, and they get all of their ice cream from Dingle on the west side of Ireland, and it was absolutely fantastic. So really highly recommend.
That's good. We like that. We like hearing stuff like that. So Matt the Thresher was the restaurant?
Yes.
Yes.
And is it bar, like pub food, or what kind of food was there?
Fancy?
Not too fancy.
I would say like fancy light.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a nice restaurant.
Yeah. But they were just super friendly, and the fish was really, really good. Is that where you had the risotto?
Yes, it was a monkfish risotto, which is not something I would typically order, but was delicious. Yeah. It was on the specials menu and just sounded like a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, I'm really proud of you for trying something like that, because I love risotto, but I would not order that. But now maybe I would.
Yeah, it was great.
At Matt the Thresher in particular.
Yes.
So if Monique gets a kanger, she'll probably cancel a trip, and you have a broken foot and a food issue and you still would go. That's crazy.
Yeah. There's not much that will stop us, I think, from going from straight up canceling a trip. Obviously, sometimes weather intervenes or other extenuating circumstances. But
seats close up.
Yeah, that's the worst. But that's never a voluntary cancellation. I don't. Yeah, we tend to be pretty hale and hearty. You know, there's always caffeine to be found. So that helps a lot.
One thing I noticed about Europe, since we're bagging on the United States for their food things, we do have the ADA, which everybody can go somewhere and get there. But in London, in all of Europe, they don't have elevators. Because remember me when we did our Christmas market tour, Monique, with the suitcase with all the podcasting equipment up and down all those stairs with the podcast equipment because somebody didn't have their passport, so they couldn't go with us.
I had my passport.
Oh, I remember hearing about that.
Yeah. It was just going to expire, so I had it.
Here I am all over Europe with a suitcase full of podcast equipment that didn't get used.
But yeah, but Europe is not great for having accessibility things for everyone.
Unfortunately, that's all right.
So you're going to say good for America?
Yeah, so that's one good thing that America
has. You can stay here then.
Yeah. Okay.
We love our escalators. Okay.
And moving walkways.
Yeah, those are nice. There was somewhere where you were commenting about, I think it was in Rome, where it was fairly accessible, but you would come off of an escalator and there would be like two stairs.
Then still two more.
Stair.
It was almost accessible.
It was like, what? Just extend it like another 6 inches and you could just have it be flat. It was very odd. And we noticed that pattern quite a lot, actually. Yeah.
But you weren't in a boot in Rome.
No.
No.
Okay.
No.
6 inches.
Just 6 inches is important.
Yeah.
It was tough in a boot. I think the highlight of having a broken foot, if there is one, though, I was on a work trip flying back through Frankfurt, and I decided to try and use the accommodation. Like, they have those services. I've never used them before, but Frankfurt is gigantic. It's like, I can't walk this far. So they brought me and a couple of other people up on the right side of the plane, which was really cool. I had never boarded from the right, which was
interesting.
I felt very special until we had been like actually the last people to board. And then that was a little stressful, but it was pretty cool. It was like, oh, yes, the VIPs over here. This is a special entrance. Yeah, starboard entrance.
That is cool.
That was pretty cool. Yeah.
When you fly for work, I'm guessing they don't put you in business.
No.
So do you ever go, well, I could just nod at home?
No. So it's non-rev is strictly for pleasure, personal trips.
I know.
Yeah.
But do you ever look and be like, well, there's seats open in business?
I actually know
I've definitely looked.
Oh, I think just because like knowing that it's theoretically possible and that I will not be able to do, it's just like, why do that to myself? Okay. You know, like I'll be 6 foot tall shrimp in the back here.
The one that has gotten me more is when we have just paid for our own tickets for personal fares when we want to make sure that we have the guaranteed seat. And then it comes the day of and you realize you could have gotten a better seat
by not paying. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fine.
When you're done with your work trip, just stay an extra day. So I consider now you're on vacation. I'm on
vacation. Yeah, alas. Or just, you know, at some point, maybe C-suite, and then I'll be able to float my own business.
Keep working out.
Yes.
Or just like charter private. I mean, T-Swift. Probably not.
T-Swift.
Yeah, exactly.
When your aunt retires, would you still get the benefits?
Yes.
Because you'll have lifetime, I'm guessing. Okay.
Yes. There is a difference in how the seniority works, I think, a bit.
Should she still choose to include us?
Exactly. Yes, absolutely. But I think it's really any seat on the plane. We're not picky. We're happy to go anywhere. I've offered to be in steerage before. Just put me in with the bags. It's totally fine.
I think in particular, you currently fly with her seniority because you have the equivalent of the spousal benefits.
Yeah.
And when she retires, it looks like you may fall down to the just friend seniority, which will certainly change the nature of the trips we can take. We'll have to be a little more strategic.
Yeah, like for us, the active employees get on first, which she would fit with that.
Exactly.
Like our spouses. But once we retire, then they're the next category. So all the inactive will get on. So you probably will move down to that category. Exactly. So more people get on before you. But when you're in that, you're still going to have good seniority. So
yes.
Yeah, true. I think we'll just have to set our sights not on business as much.
Be a little more careful.
Just tell her never turn 65.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see how that goes.
Pause.
If you don't mind.
So do you guys have a funny story for us? We'll end this one.
The one funny story we we wanted to ask, we weren't sure if anybody else has this experience, but we feel like so often when we are trying for flights, we're probably trying for flights that are a little close for comfort. And we found that there's always this moment where we get called up to the desk, or there's frequently this moment where we get called up to the desk. They call our name. We get really excited. We think we're getting seats. And then they ask us the dreaded question of whether we will split or not.
Oh. Who's going?
Who's going?
I've got one seat. But it's even worse than that, because if they call your name, you know they don't have two. Because if they have two, it'll often just like, you've been issued a seat assignment. And so every time our name is called, it's like, okay, don't get too excited. But I think this has happened to us at least four times trying to go to East Asia.
Yes.
In like different locations too. This happened that the time we ended up in Hawaii was because we were trying to go to
Korea
Japan,
first.
Korea, and then we were like, fine, Singapore. We'll go to Singapore. Okay, we'll go to Japan first. And it just kept happening, and that we just kind of got fed up with the always. We have one available.
And we've been trying to think of a name for this in particular. Yes. And that was what we were curious if people have suggestions for. We used ChatGPT to try to generate some. yes. It came up with there being a cabin crunch or the plane being short stacked. Yeah. Thought both of those were good. We may have been halfway to cruise altitude.
Halfway to cruising altitude, yeah. I think I like cabin crunch the best.
Yeah.
That's my fave. But open to suggestions, absolutely. Because this feels like a thing that must happen all the time.
Do you guys have the conversation before?
Yeah.
Because with my family, we have two adults and three kids. So it's always like, we have a whole list. Like, if we get one seat, this person goes. If there's two, you and the baby at three. Mm. And I'm always the last because she could take all the kids and go, and I can make my way there. So do you guys have that conversation before, or is it you just wait and then?
We do have the conversation before. Usually we don't end up splitting, specifically because when I am flying with Catherine, I'm flying at her seniority, which is higher than mine would be on my own because of the quote-unquote spousal benefits. Mm-hmm. So typically, we've just stayed together so that we can both be at the higher level.
The times when that has happened, we've been trying to go from SF to Singapore or somewhere where it's like, we'll be 12, 24, 36, 72 hours split. And that's just really challenging to try and coordinate, especially when the loads have been so tight. Yeah. So we normally just, we stay together.
It's usually been on the way to places that we've had that trouble. Mm-hmm. I think because there are more often weight restrictions going to Asia than coming back from Asia. And that is where we've typically hit it.
And what about if there's one business seat? How do you guys do that?
My default policy, happened? It's not happened, but I always say that I will give it to you.
It depends, but
this hasn't happened yet. You can see he gets to go there.
I think it's also, I am not as cranky maybe when I'm sleep deprived. Yeah. So I'm not going to sleep well anyway. So I would rather Eric get some decent sleep, and because I can't eat the food.
Okay.
Well, that's true.
Because I can't, you know, book the gluten-free meal. So if there's better food to be had, then definitely it should go to Eric. But that did happen on the way back from Argentina. There was one economy with a little bit of extra leg room, and you did give me that one, which I greatly appreciated.
Yeah. I'm a man of my word.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, I wanted to tell you too, just to tell the flight attendants, because sometimes it'll happen that the non-revs will be gluten-free. And when I get there with a meal cart, if they'll say, oh, I'm gluten-free, do you have anything? Because sometimes there's extra gluten-free meals. It's very rare, but I can always run up to business class, and we have a snack bar area that has like hummus and vegetables or a fruit salad. We've got a lot of options up there.
Great.
So don't be afraid to ask the flight attendant and say, hey, I'm gluten-free. I brought some stuff, you know, because I'm sure you have your protein bar and stuff. Say, I have some stuff, but just in case there's extra.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great tip.
They'll stay in the oven because none of us will eat it. So that gluten-free meal will just sit in the oven.
Oh. That's a good point. Okay.
Yeah.
What if I say, I only eat filet mignon. Do you have any of that up front? Let me still go check.
Yeah. Oh, I'll get right on that.
Okay, good.
If you just have a card and you laminate it, then they have to take it seriously. Oh, you know what?
That's not a bad idea.
Look, I only eat.
What is it? Is the back to like the no split kind of thing? I love it as a gate agent when I know I have one seat left, and I'll call them up and I'll be like, do you want to split? And they'll go, we don't have to sit together. And I'm like, oh, no, honey, that's not what I'm talking about. Does one want to sit in the airport and the other one on the plane?
Do you say it like that?
Well, I'm usually like, no, that's not what I'm talking about. Like, only I have one space left. And they're like, well, we don't have to sit. They usually just, they don't get
it. Good, you won't.
Yeah.
We've had the opposite of that a couple of times, I guess, where gate agents have tried to keep us together and given us seats way in the back that just happened to be next to each other. And typically at that point, we're like, no, we don't care.
Please just give us the extra leg room.
Don't need to be next to each other. It's fine.
We're both 6 feet tall. Like, I really appreciate the extra leg room. But yeah, it's kind of interesting, I guess, as a gate agent, because you have supreme power in seat assignments.
Thank you.
So yeah, absolutely. How you decide, like, would you just intentionally give people seats together if they're on the same reservation, or would you try and give them the best seat possible?
It depends, because that's it. Being Tyler's, like, registered companion for a while, I get that you don't necessarily want to sit together. But now being married, I get, like, wanting to sit by your person. So a lot of times, if it's super open, I try to give them the option. I'll be like, it, or like to London, where I know it's a long flight, I'll say, do you guys, like, is it a priority for you guys to sit next to each other, or do you just want to be comfortable? And it's interesting, like, some people, they want a full, you know, they don't care if it's a full row as long as they're next to each other. And other times they're like, oh no, if you can get us comfortable, like, each an open seat next to us, like, we'd love that. So I like to be able to give options if I can.
It's always appreciated.
Yeah, it's nice if they'll give you options. It's also,
we can be apart for 12 hours.
Yeah, we're going to have the whole trip together, and we live together, and everything. Just gives the best. So,
yeah.
Well, perfect. Well, thanks for joining us. It's been fun you guys
thanks
on.
For thanks us. For having us.
It's been a good show. So,
again, if you want to get a hold of us, you can find us at the Non-Rev Lounge Podcast at gmail.com. And everybody, stay safe.
Bye.
This has been Non-Rev Lounge. This episode was sponsored by Staff Traveler, which is the number one app to get your non-rev loads. It is used by over 800,000 people from all airlines the world over and built to make your non-rev trips easy and stress-free. Sign up now for free at stafftraveler.com/non-rev lounge.
Everyone's going to know, like, seniority. And
Yeah.
Same with us, right?
You know, it's fine if they infer it. I just didn't want to be like, here's her full name and address.
Oh, yeah.
Employee number is.
Yeah.